All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up? Oh, man. Week six of the Rona Renegades. As I've been secretly calling us in the names of the episodes on the files.
Corona Renegades. Yeah. It's we put little hash marks, like when stowaways are trapped on a desert island and they put like a hash mark for each day. We're like carving little hash marks into the side of our kitchen.
Do you have measurements for all your heights each week?
Oh, that would have been smart. Yeah.
Cool. So you guys surviving?
Yeah, we're thriving, baby. We're fine. You know, I feel like there's a light at the end of the tunnel, and it's not tomorrow. You know, and it's probably not even next week. But I just like the fact that we're having conversations about how to open up, and we'll talk later about what some of the studios are doing. And I just feel like, and again, not that it's anytime soon, we still have a ways to go here, but I just like that the conversations in general, not only professionally around the theater, but also personally. I mean, I really miss my friends. I miss hanging out. You know, I stay in touch or whatever, but you know, I like to sit and have breakfast with someone, you know, and shoot the shit.
Right.
So I'm ready to be done. I'm ready to be done.
Yeah, I'm getting a little stir crazy in the house. I'll be honest. Yeah. It's a weird place to be though, because like I gotta go out today and do errands and stuff. It's been like a week and a half. And I'm like, but what if I didn't? You know, what if I didn't go out? But it's like, no wait, you wanna eat, so you gotta go.
Yeah. I definitely have had a hard time like this. I don't want to say who, because I don't want to embarrass them or whatever, but this group wants to do an event at the theater in like October, November. Okay. So the lady emailed me about it and I wrote her back and I'm like, that's fine. We can do that. And then she wants to like plan it. She wants to like discuss like timing and what's involved and what's included and what she's, and it's just like before this, that would be such an easy conversation. It's like 3 minutes. You know, I don't even blink. It's just a conversation I have with people routinely, like just breathing. But now, like, oh, I can't even bring myself to, like, write her back, you know. And then I guess I went a little too long without writing her back, because a colleague of hers who I'm friends with wrote me an email and was like, you know, can you write her back? Because we need to know if this is going to work. And, like, I have such a hard time like trying to get into like the grown-up stuff, you know.
Yeah.
It's brutal. It's brutal.
Yeah, I hear you. I mean, I did the same thing. I don't know if you remember. I didn't reply to someone's email, and then they came at me hardcore. Are you still alive?
Yeah, we the Ketchum family was worried about Moulton. Man. We had to do a welfare check.
I appreciate it. Yeah.
Marley told me, because she's, I don't know if you know this about her, but she is a true crime expert.
Oh.
Yeah. Yeah, she's just but moments away from being certified as a private investigator. And she told me, because I said something about, I forget even what I was writing you, but I said something about how you didn't write me back yet. And, because I couldn't remember what we were supposed to be doing for the show. It's like middle school, where I used to have to call my best friend and be like, wait, what were we supposed to do for history?
What's homework?
When's that science project due?
Could I do it on the bus, you think? I don't know.
Right. So anyway, I told Marley that you hadn't written me back yet, and she was like, well, is he okay? Because she said, every single true crime story of a missing or dead person starts out with his friend going, oh, I'm sure he's fine.
I'm glad she's looking out for me.
Yeah. We put our best people on the job.
She wants to do the documentary. I'm not quite sure.
So one last point about how, like, we can't even bring ourselves to do, like, basic things.
Yeah.
Long time ago, Amy and I lived with her parents in Mannheim, and it was a really wonderful time because me and Amy lived – we weren't married yet. We weren't even engaged. So I lived in the basement on the couch, and Amy's grandmother lived with us, and Amy's sister's boyfriend lived with us, and, like, the whole – like, it was, like, three generations. Everybody – there was boyfriends and girlfriends, and, you know, there was all kinds of action. Amy's brother was, like, 12 at the time, and – but it was funny because Amy's grandma would, like, we always teased her that she could only do one thing a day. Like, if she had to go to the bank and, like, do something at the bank, like, that was her day. So, you know, what do you have on Tuesday? And grandma would be like, I got to go to the bank. That's her whole day. So we feel like that's kind of where we're at now in the quarantine. Like, every day we each have one thing to do, and that's our day. Like, that's the whole thing.
Yeah. No, I hear it.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get into news.
Movie news or, like, real news?
The best news.
Movie news. Hopefully there's something on there about Venom.
Well, Venom 2 has officially been titled Venom, the series is trash. No, I'm sorry. Venom, Let There Be Carnage. And it's been rescheduled for the far-flung June 25th, 2021 release date.
Far flung makes me think of apes flinging their poo in the zoo.
That'd be a more entertaining movie, I'm sure. Oh man. I think that I hate to admit, I mean, that's a pretty decent title. It's going to be about...
The series is trash?
Yeah, this series is trash. No, Let There Be Carnage, because it's going to be introducing Carnage, the character. So that's kind of cool.
So we know where you stand on Venom.
Do you, though?
But let me ask you. Because you're so subtle.
Yeah.
But we've been able to pick up on it. My question is this. Where do you stand on Tom Hardy?
Oh, I like Tom Hardy a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, I'm working my way through Peaky Blinders, and he shows up as a Jewish gangster.
Really?
Oh, he's so badass. He's just the best. I just think he's amazing.
Let me tell you something about Peaky Blinders.
Okay.
I've never heard of it before, so I don't know what it is.
All right. I mean, I'm not saying it's the best thing since sliced bread. I'm just saying I'm hooked on it. I can't stop watching it, mostly because it's great, but also because I want to see what happens. Peaky Blinders is a show on Netflix, similar to – it's a gangster series. It takes place in England in the early 1900s. It's awesome, but it's not whatever. I'm not saying, like, drop what you're doing and go watch it.
I got to go watch some show. That was just recommended. I'm sorry. All right, so
Venom 2 has a cool title for the far-flung release June of next year.
Yeah.
I'm going to try to use the phrase far-flung as frequently as I can.
Now, we were both kind of on board with Scoob.
Right.
Right. We thought, looks like a decent kids movie.
Wasn't it? And it had a little flair of an origin story to it.
Yeah. Yeah. And it was going to be the first animated theatrical Scooby-Doo film in theaters, you know, to be released. But it's going to lose that title because they've decided to release it digitally May 15th.
Mm.
So that's kind of a shame. Could have been monumental. I'm kind of wondering, some of these movies, is it a matter of how much faith they had in the film, or just they just want to get it out there and try and make as little money as they can right now?
Yeah, my vote is it's probably a little bit of both, but if I had to pick one, it's you got to make some money, you know. Yeah. And also the other question is, so like you look at it, so let's just stick with Warner Brothers. You look at Scoob compared to Wonder Woman, right? If you keep Scoob as a theatrical release, where are you going to put it? You're going to put it up against, there's like 10 other animated children's movies, you know, on the calendar. There's pretty much always something, you know. Wonder Woman's, but what?
No, keep going. I just saw something in the notes.
Wonder Woman has another, Wonder Woman is big enough that it's gonna like dramatically make more money in a theatrical release. Scoob will definitely make more money in a theatrical release, but the difference, the delta, as they like to say in the construction industry, is not significant enough. Like, I feel like they're saying, okay, if we released Wonder Woman online, we would be giving up hundreds of millions of dollars. If we release Scoob online, we're giving up tens of millions of dollars, but we get some dollars right now.
Right.
And so that's my thing. And my industry is going to go nuts. The exhibition industry is all up in arms. They all got their panties in a bunch about Warner Brothers releasing Scoob online. And I'm sure I should be taking up ranks and, you know, burning down the theater or something like that. But to me, I'm willing, you know, maybe it's just my kind, gentle soul here, but I'm willing to give Warner Brothers a pass because I feel like, I mean, the exhibition industry is suffering. Theaters, I mean, every week we get another notice about another movie theater that's closing for good. But they're not, theaters aren't the only ones suffering. You know, I mean, every industry is suffering, but let's just keep it in the movie business. Distribution is suffering every bit as much as exhibition is.
Right.
So I want to hate them for doing this, but at the same time, like, do what you got to do so that you can be in business next year and we can show another Wonder Woman in 2025, you know what I mean?
Right.
Or whatever. So this is, I think, unfortunate, but it's a reasonable sign of the times, in my opinion.
Right. I guess the big question will be is if they release it as one of those, like they have been the other ones. I'm sure they will, where it's like $20 and
right,
and you can rent it, or if they're just going to put it on whatever and let people watch it.
Speaking of that,
yeah.
Now, this is going to sound a little bit obnoxious, but it's the life of a theater owner, right?
Yeah.
I haven't paid to watch a movie in years, right? I mean,
yeah.
I know that's obnoxious, but whatever. I mean, it's literally my job.
Right.
And so we all wanted to watch Emma the other night. So there we were. We paid our, I think it was $17.99 or something like that, or maybe it was $12.99, or maybe it was $20. I don't know, but it was in that ballpark. And I said to the girls, I said, "Hey, look at us paying to watch a movie. It's just like the old days." times. And the beauty of it is, we all got our snacks and we all got settled in on the couch bed to watch Emma. And me and Marley were the only two that could stay awake. Amy and Kayla were out cold. Didn't see more than 10 minutes of it.
Oh, man. Had they seen it before?
No, I was the only one. I saw it when we had it in the theater.
Right.
And I was really chatting it up with the fam. And so we were all excited. You know, that was like our big, that was our thing we were going to do that day. But we waited too long. We didn't start it till like 10, and we had been, I forget what we had been doing that day, but it was a long day. And me and Marley laughed. We enjoyed it.
It's a good movie.
Good movie. Yep.
Hunger Games.
Yeah. I think this news is really exciting. I thought this was the biggest news of the week. And I thought it was also really good news. The Hunger Games is coming with a prequel.
Yeah.
And the prequel is titled The Ballad of Songbirds and Snakes. It's going to be directed by the director who did Catching Fire 1 and 2. Listen, I'm not like saying that I'm Mr. Hunger Games. I'm not the number one all-time Hunger Games fan. But I definitely enjoyed it when it came out. Like, right. I definitely watched every single one. I thought they were great movies. I love Jennifer Lawrence. I love the Woody Harrelson, everything about it. I thought it was a great franchise. And I'm really excited that there's a prequel in the works. It does not feel to me like a cheesy cash grab.
Good. No, I don't think it does. Apparently, the book hasn't been finished written. So, two things I like. One, it's a far enough prequel that, like, it's not going to directly interfere. It's about Snow, the guy who was president during the movies, like the big bad, and how he won the Hunger Games when he was young. Yeah. And the other part I like is that she's writing the book and they're waiting for her to finish the book before they make the movie. So it's like the movie options are already sealed and they're going to move along. And it's basically going to be like the book's done and they start screenplay adaptation like right away to make it a movie, you know. And then the third thing I really like is that it's a director with experience in the franchise who knows what works. And I really enjoyed the Hunger Games movies. I think that the very, very, very end was a little, I don't know, not the best, but I don't think that was necessarily the film side as much as just so much building up to something and then it just didn't pay off what I was looking for.
And part of it for me was, remember last week we discussed how M. Night, we felt like he was so fresh and then it wasn't not really a fault of his own, but he just kept doing what he does. And because every time he made a movie, it was less fresh. So it's sort of, you know, no disrespect or, you know, whatever. But I feel like the same thing happened with the Hunger Games. Like the first time we saw the first Hunger Games, it was so different.
Right.
You know, it's so new. And by the time we got to the end, I mean, Catching Fire 2 was a great movie, but the freshness was not there.
Yeah, because not only did we have Hunger Games, we had the Maze Runner series, which great books, okay movies. Right. We had, Divergent series. Like they were all happening at the same time. And they were all cookie cutter by that point.
So, right.
What's this big one here? This next...
So, we spoke... do you want to read it as written?
You want to give the backstory?
Well, read the headline and we'll fill in the blanks.
Marley Bear now stands to inherit the Moulton fortune, forever changing the trajectory of the International Members National Union of Dune Experts, otherwise known as I'm Nude.
David!
That's what I was laughing at earlier. I saw that. I'm Nude.
So... I mean, you're the guiding light of the I Am Nude, experience there. So when we did the welfare check and when I inquired as to your status, I also said, by the way, if you're dead, can I have the mixing board so the podcast doesn't miss a week? I pictured myself at your funeral, like recording the podcast.
During the funeral?
I pictured myself like at the wake in a corner of like some church basement, like trying to figure out how the mixing board works.
I just want to talk about these trailers. Right. It's what he would have wanted.
And I was kind of hoping that your funeral would fall on like opening weekend of Venom 2.
Go down in flames.
So I wrote you an email that said, if you're dead, by the way, can I have your stuff? And you wrote back and said, Marley, that you're leaving everything to Marley.
Yeah.
So the way I see it, if Marley inherits the Moulton fortune, the Moulton estate, if you will, that will forever change the trajectory of the body of work with which you are so widely known and respected, what you're known for, your legacy, the I Am Nude.
So what came first, the acronym, and then you had to figure out what it stood for, or did you write that out and then you were like, oh wait, look what it stands for?
I I had the idea of doing something, and then it kept building. I got to National Union of Dune Experts. But then I thought, wait a minute. We could take it a step further.
I love it.
And then I just, so our listeners don't think I'm some kind of cold, heartless bastard, I also said, if you're not dead but you're in trouble, blink twice and I'll come running.
Thus confirming the cameras he has installed.
Right.
Oh, man, I love it. All right, what's this here? This Sea of Fever thing?
I have a question for you. Who is Connie Nielsen?
Isn't she the director?
Huh?
Let me double check that. I forgot.
While promoting her new film, well, anyway, the reason why we mention her name is because while promoting her new film, which is called Sea Fever, and it says she's promoting her new film to ABC, which is television, so I don't, whatever. But this lady, who David knows, expressed doubt that Wonder Woman 1984 would see a theatrical release this August, which... If you want to be short-sighted, then, you know, if you want to be, like, a little slow, you could say, oh, well, look, it's from the same studio that put Scoob on direct-to-digital May 15th. But I'm telling you, there is no – now, I'm not sitting here saying, oh, I guarantee Wonder Woman will see a release in August, because it's possible that studios – like, if any parts of the country – still have restrictions. Like, let's say we're out of quarantine, but there are restrictions. Then I could see Warner Brothers moving Wonder Woman somewhere further than August. But if the rumor is that Warner Brothers is going to put Wonder Woman online, no, there's no way. There's no freaking way.
She plays her mom, Queen Hippolyta, whatever. Queen of the Amazons.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah.
So she's in Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I don't know. I think that's an irresponsible thing of her to say. She doesn't know.
I think she was more saying, rather than saying it was going to go to digital, that she just wasn't sure that it was actually going to come out in August.
No, that's fair. You know, I read an interesting article about races, about marathons and triathlon. And I read it because it quoted all kinds of like luminaries in the world of endurance sports. So the guy who's the race director for the Boston Marathon, the guy who's the race director for a bunch of triathlons that I like to run. So the article piqued my interest because it had all these, you know, pretty cool people opining. But after I read the article, I was frustrated and I realized the article is not at all interesting, because all it was all of these guys speculating the same way you and me are sitting here speculating. Like, nobody knows. Like, I don't know what's going to happen in August. Like, she doesn't know. And so just because she was in it doesn't make me care what her latest speculation is. Like, you know, give me the president of distribution for Warner Brothers and let me hear what he thinks, you know, and then, you know, I'll listen a little more closely.
Right. Bigger Wankers, question is,
a lot of them.
With all this talk of you're running.
Yeah.
Have you ever figured out what it is you're running from?
You.
I'm coming. I don't have to tell you this. I can't run that fast. So you're probably fine.
You know the old joke about running in the woods and you see a bear?
No.
Yeah, you don't got to run faster than the bear. You just got to outrun the person you're with.
True.
That's true. What I train for. I just train to be able to outrun whoever I'm going to be with in the woods when the bear strikes.
I mean... You don't have to finish first. You just have to finish before everyone else.
I'm saying.
Right?
So let's roll through some of these others.
All right. During a recent Instagram Q&A, James Gunn stated he has no plans to direct a fourth Guardians of the Galaxy movie. So.
Neither do I, by the way. I'm just going to go on record.
What?
I said I don't have any plans to direct a fourth movie either.
Man. So I was looking into this, and I guess there was a bunch of people who were coming back at him saying that he said he wasn't going to direct a second one. And he replied saying, I never said I wasn't going to, he said, I didn't announce that I was doing a second one, but I never said I wasn't going to, and that he always envisioned a trilogy of Guardians of the Galaxy movies. But he doesn't see himself taking the story any further than that, so.
All right, that's fair.
I like that he's got an end goal in mind. I mean, that doesn't mean that they'll never make a Guardians of the Galaxy movie.
It's being saying that he won't.
He doesn't plan to.
Right, and that's fair enough.
Yeah.
All right, The Hollywood Reporter, meanwhile, has confirmed that Paramount is moving forward with a sequel to Scary Stories to Tell in the Dark, with Andre Rovedel returning to direct from a script by Dan and Kevin Hagman and a story from Guillermo Baberbo.
Guillermo Baberbo. I thought this was interesting. Now, I didn't see the movie, but I don't know if you remember, someone gave me the book and a lunch pail, so I'm a pretty big fan.
You've got good friends. See, that's part of the fortune that Marley's going to inherit.
Right. Yeah. Does she know? You better tell her. But I thought this was interesting because, one, I didn't know. I don't know if there were still stories left for them to tell in the book.
Mm.
But two, Guillermo del Toro being like penning the story, I thought that was pretty interesting. So.
No, I totally agree. I think this is not big news, but this is good news. Like, I'm excited. This is the kind of movie that, like, I can sign up for and I'm looking forward to seeing.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. So this comes out of it's an excerpt from Lego's contract with Warner Brothers. Universal has officially inked a 5-year deal to develop, produce, and distribute Lego movies. And then the site Deadline notes the new deal will allow Lego to co-opt characters from the Universal film library. So it's meaning that any of the Universal characters can then show up in the Lego movie. So, I mean, we've got Harry Potter, Justice League characters, a bunch of DC.
Pitch Perfect.
I don't know. Well, I guess Bugs Bunny, right?
Yeah, theoretically.
Is coming back, by the way. I don't know if you saw that Looney Tunes is getting an HBO series.
Oh my god, that'd be great.
So, I mean, I don't know if it's just like old style redone Looney Tunes or what, but it's going to be on HBO. So, I thought that was pretty interesting. Then moving on, the producers of Mission Impossible 7 are currently trying to decide whether or not to scrap the Italian leg of production or push that part of shooting back until fall when the virus may have subsided. So I'm wondering, when they say scrap, if that means that they just go to sound stages and try and create Italy, or go somewhere else for that part of the story, or what do you think that means?
Yeah, I mean, I agree, or not agree, but I would say that it's the first thing you said. Like, I would bet that they're basically, I mean, Mission Impossible has a really terrific track record of shooting on location, you know, and that's part of what makes their movies really great, is that they get that authenticity and that those great shots. And so I'm sure that this is a struggle for them, because a lesser franchise, you know, just makes do in a soundstage. So I sort of picture them all like kind of wringing their hands going, well, we don't want to be that kind of production company that uses only sound stages. But at the same time, I think what they're wrestling with is it might just be too hard to get back. Like, committing to shooting on location in Italy could end up costing them sort of obviously some time. But I think the question is, does it cost them a dramatic amount of time that really changes the calendar, which would be, I think, what they're trying to avoid.
Right. Yeah, I agree. Because they still want to get this movie made within they have people under contract and stuff. They've got to release them after a certain amount of time, or they have other movies they want to do eventually, or
right,
whatever. So plus the idea of like people age, and sometimes, you know, a year and a half later, who knows what happens.
Right.
You can have an issue like, look at Empire Strikes Back with Mark Hamill got that big scar they had to cover up from the car accident.
I thought you were going to talk about Daniel Craig could twist an ankle, Tom Cruise could bust an elbow. And
Craft Services might have bad cheese.
You right. know? Never know.
One day? All right, so you want to hit this next one?
Yeah, I mean, this is I have my own sort of – so here's the headline. The headline is AMC theaters won't open again until there are new Hollywood movies to show. Okay, and then I have a sub-headline, which is if you want to read it, I'll post a link to an actually interesting article that I read the other day that interviewed a bunch of theater owners. It did not interview AMC or Regal. It interviewed like basically people like me, but bigger, you know. So they're still called independents, but you know, they got movie chains, theater chains. They might have 50 theaters, or you know, or 25 theaters, or something like that. So in the article that I read, what the people who were quoted were talking about happens to be exactly how I feel, which is, I don't want to be the first place to open because I don't want to spend the startup costs and the risks and the liabilities until people are comfortable leaving their house. So I don't want to be like the sharp end of the stick. But at the same time, you know, you were certainly losing money by not being open. So there's a balance there. So for AMC to come out and say that they won't open again until their new Hollywood movies, I'm going to call bullshit on that. And the reason why I say that is because there's not currently scheduled a new Hollywood movie till July 17th. There's some smaller titles. I occasionally get emails from these small studios that take themselves really seriously, announcing availability of this special title on June 13th or whatever like that. And I'm thinking to myself, that's great. I'm glad that you're releasing a new title, but I'm not going to make my plans to reopen. I'm not going to make those plans based on your little rinky-dink film, you know? Right. So I think AMC, I hear where they're coming from because it's a tricky balance. You want to have product for people to come out to. But I also don't see how AMC can just sit on the sidelines. If quarantine is lifted on 4th of July weekend, if we're free to move on 4th of July weekend, I don't see how AMC cannot be open.
Really?
Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest weekend of the year. Have I ever walked you through this? So the biggest day of the year is Black Friday, the day after Thanksgiving. The biggest week of the year is the week between Christmas and New Year's. And the biggest weekend of the year is 4th of July weekend. Wow. So how do you take one of your top three windows and just say, oh, we're going to not open until 2 weeks from now when Tenet opens? I don't know. I feel like I'll believe it when I see it. But if I'm open showing movies, I can almost guarantee dollars to donuts that AMC will be open.
Read, and I might be getting this wrong. I probably am. But it kind of sounded like we have the July releases, but if there was nothing after them, AMC was going to stay closed.
That's bullshit.
And not open for Tenet.
I don't believe it.
Yeah. I'm probably wrong.
Put it this way. First of all, as someone who doesn't know anything, I don't believe it. Second of all, if I was any kind of a stakeholder in the company that owns AMC, I would be going bananas.
Right.
Because you can't just choose to, you know, not be open.
Yeah.
That doesn't make any sense in the world. They're already bleeding cash. They're already talking about bankruptcy. They're also already desperate. There's no way they can take a desperate situation and say, ah, you know what, this sucks, but we're going to just keep sucking for a little while longer. That's crazy. I mean, I get it. If the tipping point was September, if somebody told me, "Oh, we're going to be able to open again on September 1st," then I could totally believe somebody saying, oh, well, we can open on September 1st, but I'm not going to open till November or late October. Because that's the oldest trick in the movie theater book is, oh, you always open a new theater either in November or May. I mean, everybody knows that. You don't open in September. You don't open in February. You don't open in March. So if the cutoff line was September and AMC said, oh, well, we're not opening till November, that I could totally believe. But if you're trying to tell me that they're going to sit on the sidelines for the month of July when they could be open, then that's either just wrong or it's the stupidest thing I've heard all week.
Well, I hope I gave you the stupidest thing you've heard. Tell me something smart, though.
Okay, so speaking of reopening, yeah. And we do not yet have any plans in the works, but like I said at the top of the show, I'm happy because we are having those conversations. We're beginning to sort of look and you know, the studio. There's more and more communication coming from the studios. And what we're seeing, and again, I think I gave them kudos last week, but I'll reiterate it. Lionsgate seems to be the one that started the flow of information. What studios are doing is they're lumping together like groups, packages of titles. So, you know, here's a group of horror movies. Here's a group of our best comedies. Here's a group of our best movies from the 80s. You know, so whatever. So then you, the theater owner, picks a package and you get all those titles. And then the film rent is like super cheap. So the studios have been really terrific in, first of all, including access to their old content. And then also, frankly, giving us a break on the price. It's not for free. But again, you know, as I said a few minutes ago, like the studios are suffering just as much as we are. So they're giving us a break. So, you know, I think what you're going to see throughout July and certainly throughout June is a lot of classics be coming back to the movie theaters. Now, the big shoe that has not yet dropped is Disney. And Disney is also the only studio who historically has just flat out said no content available, our product is not available, our library is closed. So obviously that includes a shit ton of content, and they have not announced any plans. I expect that they will, but they have not yet announced any plans to for what programming might be available.
Huh. Interesting. Well, I mean, that's a good sign for the future.
I think it's a great sign.
Yeah.
I think it's a great sign. It's going to be a slow summer, but if we can get support from the studios with some of their best titles, I sort of feel like it feels natural. It feels like it'll work.
Here's the thing. I think that if you're putting out good movies, even if they're older movies, like back into the theater,
right,
people are going to be so hungry to not be home, to do something with their friends. They're going to be looking for, especially like teenagers and stuff, they're going to be looking for things to do. And I think people are going to be way more likely to go see a classic or a you know, an old blockbuster in the theater than, I mean, you know, you get people in for that stuff usually, but I think you're going to get more of it now because people are going to be like, I want to do something. I want to hang out with my friends. Let's go see a movie.
Yeah, it lines up exactly with what I've always said, which is that the primary thing that we are offering is something to do.
Yeah.
You know, and we do our best business when our movies are good and when we have exciting new content and when, you know, there's a movie that the whole world is talking about. But day in and day out, what we offer is something to do and a reason to get out of the house, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
So I think this is consistent with that. And I will tell you, we'll talk later about, I watched that new movie with Chris Hemsworth called Extraction, which I thought was really good, a really great action movie. But the whole time I was watching it, I was thinking to myself, man, I wish I was watching this in a movie theater. You know, like I really am starting to miss the big screen, the sound, you know, the dark room, you know, the whole thing.
Yeah.
I miss the theatrical experience.
So as we move into trailers, and along the same line, there was only one new trailer this week that I could find that I could that was definitely for theatrical release, but there were a bajillion Netflix trailers.
Yeah.
And yeah. I got to give them props because they're hitting it strong. And not necessarily that, like, I didn't watch the, like, all the trailers or anything, but I'm just saying, like, now's the time. You've got people home. You got people, more than ever, people watching Netflix. You put these trailers out because, one, you're going to keep them there now. Two, if you put out good trailers now and you put it in front of these people, you'll retain, because what's happening is people are building habits.
Right.
They're breaking old habits. They're building new habits. And what you're going to have is when things do open up, people are going to be more likely to stay home to watch a movie, not necessarily other than go out to see one in the theater. But I mean, people are going to be like, well, you know, we don't need to go out to eat dinner tonight. We could just watch a movie at home or something. You know what I mean? Like, it's rather than someone being like, let's go hang out at the bar.
Okay. I agree with what you're saying with a slight twist.
Okay. Hit me.
The slight difference is I don't think anybody is going to develop. I think if somebody wants to go out to dinner or wants to go to a movie or wants to go bowling or wants to go hike in the woods, they're going to choose one of those things. Yeah. The habit that I think they're building, and I can speak to this a little bit for my own self, and I'm sure you're experiencing the same thing, is like I'm my first go-to is Netflix. You know what I mean? And I'm more and more getting, you know, sort of ingrained in the Netflix thing. And, you know, sometimes I go to Prime, and if I'm really bored, I go to Hulu. You know, or of course, if I'm looking for a specific movie, then that's a totally different thing. But if I'm just like, oh, I have a little time, I'm going to watch TV, my first thing I turn on now is Netflix, you know. Yeah. And I think that's the habit that they're trying to build, and that's why they're really, and rightly so, that's why it's so important for them right now to crush it and hit it home like I think they're doing. Because now is when you're watching TV, like, and I'll go to Netflix now before anything. Like, I was thinking this morning, I haven't turned on, like, my cable TV. Like, I haven't watched ESPN or WGAL or CNN or anything like that in, I mean, weeks.
Yeah, maybe that's what I was trying to say. I think you got it better than what I was trying to say. People are more likely to go to them. Anyway, the new trailer for this week is called How to Build a Girl. Did you check it out?
I did not.
Don't bother.
Don't bother.
Now was the perfect time to put this trailer out there because no one's going to see it, no one's going to care, and no one's going to remember it exists. It stars Jonah Hill's sister, which is fine, right? Because she was in Booksmart. She's great.
Yeah.
But this movie takes place in England about an English girl who reinvents her identity to become, like, to make herself more marketable as, like, a writer or something like that. Like a teenage girl, like, dyes her hair and starts dressing differently to get jobs and stuff. The huge turnoff is everyone else in it is an English actor or actress, and then Jonah Hill's sister with the most cliche British accent that you've ever heard trying to be a British girl, and it just takes you right out. Every time she starts talking, you're just like, is this real? Like, is this a joke? But it could be, look, it could wind up being a really good coming-of-age film for girls.
Your confidence is overwhelming.
What do you want me to say?
Right, I'm stunned.
All right, so moving on. You got a little bit of a note here. What's this?
I just want to reiterate, I don't want to embarrass anybody because they're our friends and we love them.
Right.
But the next person that calls me with this big idea they have about, hey, you know what you should do, Penn? You should open a drive-in. Oh. Next person who calls me and suggests a drive-in is getting slapped. I swear to God, it is almost daily now. We talked about this last week. I'm not going to rehash the whole conversation, but it's for some reason, as people look more and more into opening, I just can't get over it. And it's also funny, like, it shows me, my friends, it shows me who does and does not listen to the podcast.
Oh, snap. Crackle and pop.
All right. Yeah. You ready to do top 10 lists?
Let's do top 10 lists. All right. I went into this overconfident. Penn immediately was like, Penn was immediately was like, I don't know. Does it have to be in order? Does it? And I was like, yeah, man, like at least like the top three gotta be in order. And then I sat down to make my list and I was like, I can't put these in order. They changed. Like, even as I was putting the list together, I was like, I don't think this is right. Like, no. Like, I don't even know. Like, after watching Motorcycle Diaries, I don't even know if it's number one anymore. Like, I think some of the nostalgia was keeping it there. But now that I've watched it, it's, like, still up top. But it's not.
How do you handle that? Let's discuss that for a second, because I'm sure our listeners have the same problems. How do you account for the nostalgia when coming up with your top 10? Because, like, for example, A New Hope – is not my favorite movie, but it sure has a lot of nostalgia for me.
So this is what I did with these films. I tried to pick movies that I've sat down to rewatch several times because they've meant something to me. So maybe not like the best movies I've ever seen in my entire life, but the movies that I keep coming back to for one reason or another. And that's really what I had to go with on this. And it's weird because especially one of them on here is not like the greatest movie or whatever, but the feeling that it gave me the first time I watched it and every time I watched it since is just such a warm, like, excited feeling. I can't help but love the film and I can't help but sit down and watch it when I have, you know, when the option comes up. Now, I don't know about you. I left off series of movies there where it wasn't like I could pick just one of them.
Right.
So like I don't have any of the Star Wars films. But
me neither.
I mean, it's okay if you really liked one. I thought like that was one thing, because one of my things is like I really like one movie in a series. But so I left off Lord of the Rings, and I left off Star Wars, and I left off the Before series. Are you familiar with that?
No.
It's Ethan Hawke and Julie Dempsey. It's Before Sunrise, Before Sunset, and Before Midnight. These movies are absolutely amazing. You should definitely watch them. You might even want to watch them with the girls. They're like real-time conversations almost.
Mm.
The first one is like they're in their 20s. They have till sunset to talk to each other and fall in love. And each movie takes place real time. It's made and takes place 10 years after the other one.
Hmm.
Or nine years. So if they make another one, it's still, I think, 7 years away. So anyway, that was how I sat down to do this. But so these are in no particular order.
Okay.
Do you want to go?
No, you go for it.
All right. So we'll start off with Motorcycle Diaries, because we talked about that already.
Right.
Last week. But then I followed that up with The 25th Hour. It's an Edward Norton film.
Yep. Directed by Spike Lee.
Yeah. Yeah. It's really, really good. I love this movie for so many reasons. It's very emotional. But number three, and I can't believe I left this off last time we talked, because it might be one of my all-time movies. I'm always trying to get people to watch this. It's so hard. It's called Primer.
Called what?
Primer.
What's it about?
It's an indie time travel film. You laugh, but it's so good. And it's exactly, it's time travel, but it's different. These guys accidentally make a time travel machine. But the gimmick is, right, you can only travel back in time to when the machine was turned on. and it takes just as long to travel back in time as it does forward. So if you want to go back in time a week, you have to spend a week in the machine to go back in time.
So if you go back in time a week, it's 2 weeks later, so you actually go back in time to now.
Exactly. my brain! then I have Interstellar, which I love. Tron right. Legacy, which I think is just beautiful all around. Then, speaking of beautiful, I have the movie Hero with Jet Li. Then The Last Samurai with Tom Cruise.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Yeah. Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon. Punch Drunk Love.
Oh, I just watched that the other day. That is such a good movie.
Yeah.
That's Adam Sandler.
Yeah.
And I love that movie.
The cinematography in that film. Like he's calling the girl on the phone and she's not answering. The sun's setting. She picks the phone and goes, hello, and all the lights in the city turn on. Just as she's, it's so beautiful.
And no, it's a great movie, and it's the exception that proves the rule in terms of what, you know, I was watching it and telling Marley how much I was enjoying it, and she was like, but it's got Adam Sandler. We hate Adam Sandler.
And then the final most controversial film on this list, Transformers. The first Transformers.
Okay, so your Transformers is on your list for the same reason that Iron Man was almost on my list.
Oh, okay.
I think Transformers is on your list because you just loved how fun it was, and there's some nostalgia, and I had the same experience when I watched Transformers, and I also had the same experience when I watched Iron Man. Both of those movies, I remember the first time I watched it, I just wanted to run upstairs and start it and watch it again.
Yeah.
That's interesting though. So you have no, you and I both have no Marvel movies on our all-time top 10 list, even though we are both, especially you, big Marvel fans.
Yeah. Yeah. That's, you know, the Marvel movies are, it's hard to pick, like, it's like, oh, I love Spider-Man, but which one? Or, you know.
Right.
And especially as they go on, it's harder and harder to pick a singular Marvel movie without saying that it relies so much on the other films.
Iron Man was not on my list, but I started a list of, you might call them honorable mentions, but I called them, but what about movies? So, like, here's my top 10 list, but what about Iron Man? And the reason why it was, you know, number 11 on my list and almost in my top 10 was exactly what you said about Transformers. But I'll also go a step further and say, because in my opinion, the pressure on Iron Man to set the tone for the rest of the Marvel catalog of what would come out for the next 10 or 15 years, however long it's been, Iron Man set the tone with the humor and the action and the storytelling. But I think in the end, the reason why Marvel movies, why I love them so much, but they're not necessarily on my top 10 list, is because once I know what happens, I'm a little bit less interested in watching it and rewatching it.
Yeah.
You know, and so a big sort of rule for me with my top 10 list is movies that I not only have watched multiple times, but if you said to me, hey, let's go watch whatever one of these movies from my top 10 list right now, I would gladly, you know, go watch it. You know, whereas, you know, some of those Marvel movies, I loved them because I loved seeing what, you know, the characters and if you had to pick top 10 movies and you could put a franchise as a movie, then I would just put Marvel and that would be one of my top 10 movies.
Yeah. And I thought of making that like be like, oh, I could just put Lord of the Rings as one of them. But I was like, yeah, it doesn't really count.
Yeah. So. All right. Well, here's my top 10 list. And by the way, we're going to post both of these. You okay with posting both of these top 10 lists on our Facebook page?
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah. Because I think people would enjoy. My top 10 list, pretty predictable difference between your list and my list, is that my top 10 list, every single movie on it, you've heard of. And you've probably already – I would – warrant a guess that most of our listeners have seen all of these movies.
You weren't trying to crank out your pinky like I was with my list. I was like,
But I'm going to go backwards and start with the movies that did not make my list. These are the But What About movies, and we already discussed Iron Man, but I also want to shout out to the Dark Knight trilogy.
Ooh.
I mean, all three of those were just unbelievable. And I also want to shout out to the Rocky franchise, starting with Rocky and going the whole way to Creed 2. I love those characters. I really even enjoyed Rocky Balboa, the last sort of quote-unquote Rocky movie. Remember that movie Brooklyn?
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, that was such a beautiful movie and such a moving love story. I loved it. The Big Chill is on my What About list. Did you ever see The Big Chill?
No.
It's a really good movie. It's on my best list 100% because of nostalgia. And the reason why I say that is because when I was in high school, my parents owned this movie on VHS, and I watched it like over and over and over and over. It's got one of the best soundtracks of all time. And it's just a really fun. It's a little bit slow. It's a little bit grown up, but it's a fun movie. Really well acted. It's got some incredibly iconic actors in it. It's about these friends that reconvene when their one friend commits suicide. So it has a little bit of somber tone throughout. But I thought it was a really touching movie. And then my last What About movie is called The Mexican, with James Gandolfini and Julia Roberts. This movie is really great. It's really well done. It's not really done by anybody famous, but it also has Brad Pitt in it. The acting, the story, and again, this is an all-time love story. I would say it's the best love story out there, maybe ever. Okay, so anyway, my top 10 list.
Okay.
Number one, Moonstruck.
Yeah. I've heard of it.
Because of Nicolas Cage.
Crazy eyes.
Crazy eyes. Number two, Godfather.
Okay.
Now, I know we said no franchises, so I'm not saying the Godfather trilogy. And I resisted the urge to – I chose Godfather over Godfather 2 because kind of like Iron Man – Godfather sets the tone, and this to me is just one, not only one of the best movies ever made, but also one that I could watch over and over and over. And still to this day, when I watch it, I catch new details. And also, this is the only one on the list where I read the book.
Nice.
Okay, number three. And this is a solid number three. This is not like whatever. Number three, National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation.
What?
I cannot describe to you enough how much I love this movie. And I love it because it's a great comedy. I love it. It's got the nostalgia. I loved it before I ever had kids, and now I love watching it with my kids. Everything about this movie is awesome. Number four, Ocean's 11, the one with Brad Pitt and George Clooney.
Oh, nice.
This movie influenced me a lot. It didn't come out around the time that I was trying to build the theater, but I watched it a lot around the time I was trying to build the theater. And when we built the theater, the mood in the family was 100% like, we're getting away with something. And there's like every single day we expected somebody to come knocking on the door being like, hey, what makes you think you can build a movie theater?
People don't just build
movie theaters. We're not going to let you get away with this shit. Come on. And there's this great scene in Ocean's 11 where they're in front of the door, in front of the elevator door with the plans to the bank that they're going to rob. And George Clooney says he needs a reason. Or no, Brad Pitt says he needs a reason. And George Clooney says, because the house always wins. I mean, he gives this really cool little soliloquy or monologue, but he says the essence of it is the house always wins unless you have the perfect hand, and then you bet it all and you take the house. And that I repeated that conversation in my head time and time again when we were trying to build this movie theater. Okay, number five on my list, Good Will Hunting. Again, this is a beautiful movie. I relate to it a lot. Yeah. in terms of, not in terms of how smart the guy is. Obviously not that. Number six on my list, Titanic.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's a great love story. It's one of the most epic, you know, I remember seeing it in the theater. Amy and I saw it out at the Dutch Wonderland there, that little fourplex. And it's the classic, like, you've got to see this movie on the big screen. And it made a huge impression. I think it's a great story, great acting. I loved it. Number six on my list, Quentin Tarantino, Pulp Fiction.
Nice. Okay.
I love this movie, and I love, ever since I saw this movie, I loved movies that, like, hop around, what do you call that, timeline? Like, the timeline is
split. Non-linear.
What do you call it?
Non-linear.
Non-linear timelines, yes. So I love when that happens. Speaking of non-linear timelines, my next title, number eight, The Hangover.
Nice.
For all the right reasons.
Just the first
number one. Number nine, I think might be the best movie on this list in terms of, like, not, you know, this is my top 10 list of my personal favorite movies. And of these 10 movies, I think the best movie, the best film on the list is Inception.
Ooh, yeah.
Christopher Nolan, and I almost wrote on my list Inception in IMAX because, you know, it really was dramatically better in IMAX. Okay, and then my 10th movie, which I love and has some of my favorite quotes of all time, Clint Eastwood stars in The Good, The Bad, Ooh, and The Ugly.
That almost got on my list.
Yeah, I mean, that is, and The Good, Bad, and The Ugly, I've not actually watched in a few years, and when I wrote up my top 10 list, I made a mental note, I want to watch this movie while we're in quarantine.
Have you seen all of the Man with No Name movies?
Yeah. Love them.
I don't think I've seen the fourth one that's not, like, official or whatever. There were three with the same director, and then there was a fourth one that's him with no name that's kind of, like, part of, anyway, it doesn't matter.
No, I might not have seen that one. I thought I had, but that one doesn't ring a bell. So anyway, those are our top 10, and we will post. I took notes while you were reading yours, so I'll post both of these top 10 lists on our Facebook later today.
Great. All right, moving on to listener notes, questions, answers, harassment, as we like to do. So the Mystery Gobble and the Shady Lady are all about bringing the pandemic to the hospitals. And you mentioned that was going to happen. And the Gobble says he can't wait to have some of the pandemonium during the next big movie. How do you like that play on words there?
You know, the Gobble is smarter than both of us combined.
No doubt. No doubt.
I mean, that just goes without saying.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay, so I'll just comment real quick about the hospital thing. We are still working on that. It turns out to be way more complicated than I anticipated. Also, I'm working under the limitations. I'm working under the aforementioned limitations.
Whoa.
That's a big word.
He's out.
So since I'm limited to only doing one thing a day, it has slowed down my progress of working with the hospitals. David, I'm under a severe handicap over here. You can't expect. Hey, by the way, did you see I wore one of my from my
Vegas baby hangover shirt? Love it.
All right. Now, also, Shady Lady not only commented on the pandemic, but she also had something to say about movies that you and I feel like she expressed some doubt.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, first off, she responded to us saying, what are you watching and whatever. She said she's been watching The Five, The Stranger, Safe, Stranger, yeah. And unfortunately, Tell No One, which has been taken off of Netflix, I guess. I don't know. I've never heard of any of those.
I'm going to watch one of them. I don't know which one, but I'm going to watch one as a service to our community.
Okay. I bet you they're all British. That's
awesome.
That's my guess. So she says, She has two movies I would like to get the girls, i.e. Amy, Marley, and Kayla's opinion on, because I have no faith that either of you will actually watch, since I had mentioned these old but timeless movies before and gotten absolutely no response. Now, I don't think that's true, because I know that we did talk about one of these, and one of them is a beloved movie by me, so I think it's crazy that she thinks that that we didn't... Yeah.
What's I'm shocked!
What's this face you do? I thought my video was frozen.
I'm making my shocked face.
So she says, White Knights and A Ghost in the Darkness.
All right. I'm not interested in what titles she wants to talk about. I am interested. I want to go three lines earlier. And I want to get into the phrase, because I have no faith that either of you will actually watch these old but timeless movies. No faith in these trying times.
In these trying times. We're all in this together.
I thought we were all in this together.
He had this open mouth expression for so long, I thought the video had frozen and lagged out because he wasn't moving. Oh, man. Yeah. Have you seen these movies?
No, I never saw any of them.
You got to watch A Ghost in Darkness. It's Val Kilmer and Michael Douglas.
Yeah, it takes place in Mississippi or something.
Nah, man, Doug, it takes place in Africa. It's about two lions. It's based on a true story about two lions that hunt people for sports. And the lions can be seen in a museum in Chicago because it was such a monumental thing, because lions don't hunt for sport. They hunt for food.
Are you thinking of Night at the Museum with Ben Stiller?
Yeah. Yeah, I am. Yeah. I'm confused.
Hey, by the way, just a little side note. If we had to make a top 10 list of movies we hate, and I don't mean movies we love to hate. I mean movies that you could, if you put the movie on, I would leave the room. And you know what's number one? My number one movie that I will not be in the same room with is Night at the Museum.
Okay. See, here I thought you were going to ask me what my number one was going to be.
Tell me.
Well, I mean, I don't know, but I had a feeling you were trying to get me to mention a certain Star Wars film.
No. No.
You can't. Come on. Gasp.
As the French would say, que horror.
Que horror.
Que horror.
All right. So, in these trying times that we're all in together, what have you been watching and reading and doing and all that?
David, I just want to say something before we move on. I have total faith in you and that you will watch these movies.
The White Knight and A Ghost in the Darkness?
Yeah.
What about you? What about the faith in you? I only have to watch one of them. I own Ghost in the Darkness.
I love it when our listeners throw shade.
Yeah, I know.
That's my favorite thing.
All right.
Real quick, what are you watching and reading?
I watched the movie Master Z, which is a spinoff of the Ip Man, the IP Man trailer or trilogy or quadrilogy. I'm in season 3 of Parks and Rec. Love that show.
And you know they're doing a new one, a stream and a special one-off episode.
I saw that. I'm pretty excited. The thing is, now that I'm watching it, I kind of want to wait till I'm done with the series, you know, to watch that.
Yeah.
And then I got a new PC, which means that there's a new me, because I'm all about I'm all about the new PC and playing around with that. So I've been kind of busy with that. So how about you? What have you been doing?
Nice. I'm in a little bit of a rut. I have some interesting stuff to talk about.
Okay.
But the truth is, if I get a minute to myself, I'm watching Peaky Blinders.
Right.
Which is basically English gangsters in the early 1900s. I love it. I'm not saying it's the best thing ever, but it's good. It's entertaining. It takes you away for a little bit. I'm also watching this comedy starring Kenya Bannis or Bennis or something. Black AF, really funny stuff. I told you the girls and I all watched Emma. And then I want to tell you that I watched Extraction with Chris Hemsworth, a.k.a. Thor, who said, by the way, we didn't mention in our news, but I saw in an interview he was promoting Extraction, and he said the script for Thorf is one of the best Marvel scripts he's read ever.
Really?
Yeah. So, I mean, whatever, but that I take that with a grain of salt, but it's certainly good news. He didn't avoid the Russian, you know, so that's exciting. Wow. Extraction is directed by Sam Hargraves, who's the he started out as a stunt double for Chris Evans and went on to be a major stunt coordinator and then ultimately the stunt coordinator for all the Marvel movies, including the Avengers titles and stuff like that. This is his first time being the full-on director of a movie, and it's really interesting because he spoke about being able to do action sequences in a non-franchise type of movie, and the liberty that comes with doing a standalone title and not worrying about sequels and franchises and, you know, multi-movie storylines and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So if you're into action movies, especially bloody R-rated action movies, I thought this movie was great. I thought it's never going to turn up on anybody's lists of best movies of all time. But it was really good. Very entertaining. I recommend it.
Great.
Then the night that we watched Emma started with me saying, hey, you guys, let's watch that movie Lovebirds. It was supposed to come out in theaters, and now it's available online. And everybody was like, oh, that's a great idea. It's a comedy. Remember we watched the trailer? It's really funny.
What is that, the one where their car gets jacked?
Yeah, they hop in an Uber, a cop jumps in their car and they think he's a cop chasing a bad guy.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, and it's really, the trailer looks hilarious. So I got the family all kinds of excited. We even made a date. We were like, okay, Lovebirds tonight at 9 p.m., bring your snacks, blah, blah, blah. We got all fired up, sat down on the couch, and then Marley was like, this movie doesn't come online till May 22nd. So I was the big dope, and we ended up watching more Reba.
Wow. Well, there you have it. That about does us in for the week.
That's it.
Can you believe it?
Look, all right, see you next week.
Ciao.
What if we just cut it there? What if we were just like, all right, see you next week.
Look, thanks everyone for continuing to tune in with the show. If you want to help support us, the best way you can do that is to just tell a friend, say what's up, listen to the show. It's something to do during your quarantine time. Of course, check out pandemic.com for your popcorn needs during this trying time.
So May 1st is sold out. There are still popcorn slots available on May 2nd. And if you really want the popcorn, Ephrata, the new Maine, is selling popcorn on May the 4th.
Oh, Star Wars Day. Wink.
May the 4th be with you.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, once again, for the Penn Cinema Podcast, I'm David Bolton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum. Take care
and party on.
's for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.